Jones intervened on behalf of... Billy Sunshine knew the way to...
Welcome back to Cairo Nights, currently being boarded and infiltrated by a man who was raised by KGB deep state agents, bred to be a perfect killing machine, even at a weight of 400 pounds, William Sunshine, one of the most deadly agents within the Soviet regime, a.k.a. Iron Hand Willie, a.k.a. Soviet Billy Darkness, a.k.a. Fat Billy. Welcome, Fat Billy. Welcome. Hey, Billy.
I'm a capitalist. I'm a capitalist, and I've lost a huge amount of money in the stock market in the past couple of weeks.
I know you. Well, we could talk about stocks, Billy. I kind of wanted to talk about what's going on at the University of Washington, or UW, as people keep insisting in the text line that I call it a certain way. And I also wanted to talk about Florida, Billy, because I know how much you like the fine state of Florida. But before we get to that, we have to get some audience participation, Billy. And I think you know what I'm going to talk about, because it involves our little dinner that you and I went out to with Dr. Z over the weekend. Do you remember this?
Do I remember the dinner? Yeah. I remember the general dinner.
Okay, so this is a question that Billy and I have been rolling around in our brains for the last, 48 hours. So Billy and I and Dr. Z all go out to dinner to celebrate an achievement in my life, Billy, that we can't actually talk about right now, because I can't actually talk about it for like another month, and then I'll be able to tell everybody on the show.
Billy.
I know it's dumb, but it's part of the contract. So I wasn't specific about it, Billy. But I wasn't specific about it. So Billy
Let's
and
put it
I.
This way. I get the feeling you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that, Billy. Someone might say that. Someone might infer that. But without saying
it, bad boy.
So Billy and I and Dr. Z, we all go out to dinner to celebrate, and we all get our respective meals at a fairly nice restaurant. And Dr. Z gets a salmon salad. He gets salmon on top of a salad.
I can't believe you're ratting out Dr. Z.
Well, I mean, this is an important philosophical question, Billy, and it's okay. Newsworthy. It's very much so newsworthy. Dr. Z eats what? 7/8 of this hunk of salmon in the salad, right? How much of it does he eat, Billy?
Well, let's put it this way. It was time to get the check.
So it's time for us to get the check. Dr. Z has eaten easily 7/8 of this hunk of salmon and the majority of the salad. And when the very lovely young waitress comes around, Dr. Z says, "Oh, by the way, pardon me, this salmon was dry. And so
I overcooked.
And so I would like another one. I would like another one. Thank you, please, and thank you." And the lady looks at him.
He wants to take home, please.
The lady looks at him like, what? And so, Billy, you start giving him guff, and I start giving him guff, and then he's like, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. So this nice young lady goes out, and she gives Dr. Z a brand new hunk of salmon, larger than the first piece. I felt so bad. But here's the question, Billy, philosophical question for everybody out there in the audience. Are you that person? Are you that kind of individual who eats basically the entirety of a meal and then asks or requests for another one at a restaurant? It's beyond me, Billy. It's beyond.
I try to explain it to him.
Yeah.
Calmly and sweetly. And, you know, as I told you, for example, I always get a burger and fries. Now, if there was something wrong with the burger, I'd eat most of the fries and then send the burger back, you know, with only one bite out of it.
Right. Right. But
hopefully not getting new fries, but, you know.
Right. But you don't eat everything except for the crust and then return it back to them and say, oh, by the way, let me get another burger. That's just the timing was really bad on Dr. Z's part. Hey, speaking of really bad timing, by the way, Billy, I have to say this. So Mr. Monson, Dory Monson, put something up on My Northwest, by the way. It's a story that came out last week, but I think it bears repeating. So at the University of Washington, UW, their information technology department has released an inclusive language guide, and it reflects their stated goal of diversity, equity, and inclusion. But it includes words that you are not allowed to use. And this is where it's rough. So they don't want you to use the word webmaster because it is racist. And they've replaced it.
Is?
Yeah, they've replaced it by saying web product owner. you can't say blind.
Oh, master. I see. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, webmaster, right? That's pretty nutty, right, Billy?
Yeah.
And then blind spot is out because it's ableist, and they want you to say choosing to ignore.
No, I'm not doing that. Sorry.
You also can't say cakewalk, no can do, and you cannot refer to a airplane's flight data recording box as the black box.
Okay, you know. Well, we should call it the orange box because it is.
It is orange. Yeah. It is technically orange. And
that's
so,
the crazy stuff. You know, we got to stop this. This is all nuts.
Well, I think
let's just use language the way we're comfortable with, but let's use it without nasty intent, and then you're fine.
Right. So, Billy, here's the issue with this, and I am with you. I think that this kind of language policing, word policing, is deeply irritating. Most people know it is. The issue is that people then look at something like this and they think that college reflects real life. And then they go out into I'm talking about college students. College is designed to basically be a nice adult playpen for adolescents as a bridge between being 18 to 22. That's basically what it is. And so if you can create as many...
It's the last time you really can have a good time.
But, I don't know, Billy. I've had better
before
time.
You got to go to work and become an adult.
I don't know about that, Billy. Time. But my point is...
Sex. You know,
but not for everybody, Billy. But my point with this is that you can try to coddle these young people as much as you want by shielding them from different kinds of language and different kinds of words. But I don't think that prepares them for the advent of when somebody actually says, who is the webmaster? Oh, I've got a blind spot to this particular circumstance. What's the other one? No can do. Sorry, can't do that. No can do. Hey, it's going to be a cakewalk. It's totally easy. If you're the kind of person who gets upset about this word use, this to me is more about a power game, Billy. This is more about policing somebody's language in a very passive-aggressive way.
Nobody gets upset about these things. This is made up.
Oh, they do. No, they do, Billy. People certainly do.
I don't believe that people care about webmaster. I don't believe it.
So what they do, Billy, and I will hearken back to my college experience, is that if you use a phrase like webmaster, what they will say to you, and by they I mean certain people within the student body, they will say that word is problematic, meaning that it poses a cascading series of issues following it. Problematic.
And I would say, get over it, or you're going to have a hard time in this life.
But they don't care, Billy. That's the thing.
I don't care either.
But Billy, to the point is that they are trying to mold the way that people speak about certain issues, not necessarily because it is an issue in the phrasing, but because if you can control or modify the way that people speak, you can modify the way people think, and that's the ultimate goal.
Horrible idea what's going on in college. When I went to college, it was a place to be challenged intellectually, not to be coddled. There was no such thing as a trigger warning. Comedians were able to come and say whatever they chose, and we would, you know, enjoy it, and we would groan when we thought a joke was inappropriate, and we would move on.
I'm going to push back against you, Billy. I think trigger warnings are appropriate for some people. I think they're totally appropriate.
I think you need to grow up and take the rough and tumble of life.
No, Billy. I think that in certain circumstances, like I'll give you an example, Billy. In film classes, we had to watch very difficult films. Schindler's List is a very difficult film to watch. I don't think that there's anything wrong with a professor saying, hey, everybody, just so you know, this video has some very graphic imagery in it. That's a trigger warning, Billy. That's a trigger warning.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So I win?
Yeah, I watch TV all the time that it says, this is for mature audience. Well, I'm not mature, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Billy, getting back to the point I'm making, though, Billy, is that there are certain instances in which a quote-unquote trigger warning is perfectly acceptable, right? Like, in certain instances in a politics class, if you're talking about law, rape cases come up, sexual assault cases come up. We're learning about figures in history who were evil, awful, deplorable.
And we're in a law class. In other words, we're in graduate school. We're adults.
Billy, you're missing the point in its entirety, which is that in many cases it's perfectly acceptable to precede a specific topic by letting people know that the content is going to be difficult content, and the content, and that Billy is
not
adult.
Preparing people for life.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. It absolutely is, Billy. It is 100% a perfectly acceptable boundary for someone to pose in a conversation. Yeah. People do it all of the time.
Jack, outside of college, do you think people are going to say trigger warning?
They don't say trigger warning in college, Billy. They don't say trigger warning in college. That phrase gets used as like a kind of a colloquial joke. But in the context of a classroom, they say something to the effect of, just so everybody knows, this content depicts rape or violence or whatever it is. So if you don't feel like you can handle that kind of subject matter, please feel free to step out of the classroom.
Here's my point. Outside of when you're not in the classroom and if you go to the movies, guess what? They're not going to be before the movie. No one's going to stand up before the movie goes. Billy, by the way, I just warned you, there might be some stuff in here that makes you uncomfortable.
No, these are two totally separate instances, Billy, where one of them is a required curriculum and the other one is a voluntary measure where you go into a movie theater and sit down, right?
Okay, I just disagree completely with this whole idea that college is, we got to be so dainty with these kids.
Billy.
It's finally time for some rough handling. They've been shot children along high school with their parents. College is for time to get used to the rough and tumble of real life.
Boundaries are healthy, Billy, and when people put up boundaries and they say, you know what, I don't want to expose myself to that kind of content, it's perfectly acceptable for somebody to do that. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean, Billy, that that content is wrong or bad or not worthy of being taught. It just means that that person has a boundary, and people who don't respect boundaries and people who insist on talking over other people and insist on
here's my reaction to that.
Okay, fine.
It's like growing up in a house where your mother never lets you do anything. It's too clean. You're not allowed to have a dog. So all those boundaries keep you from experiencing real life and become hardened, becoming having a system that can handle some dirt in it, some rough and tumble. You see what I mean?
It's the inverse of that, though, Billy. You understand? They're not.
Too much protection is not good.
Billy, no, it is not them protecting you. It is you protecting yourself. You have flipped this in your mind.
That's right. You shouldn't have to protect yourself so often. You shouldn't be told you need to protect yourself. The message you should get is,
whoa, Billy, what are you talking? Billy, no, Billy, no, it is perfectly acceptable for somebody to say, I am unwilling to have this conversation, or I'm unwilling to be exposed to this kind of media. Perfectly acceptable.
Fine. But it should be very, very rare.
Hence why, Billy, professors before a difficult piece of curriculum say, by the way, if you need to step out of the classroom, it's perfectly acceptable for you to do so.
Let's go back to those words. Let's go back to those words what's it called? Dub?
U-dub. U-dub, Billy. Yeah. U-dub.
I really think they cakewalk? By the way, what's the problem with cakewalk?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't. Let me read some more of this. It says, I want to, Billy, because it's part of my job. If the name for something or a word in documentation is among those in the problematic words and phrases list and comes from a vendor and changing the word may create more confusion, it is recommended that you contact the vendor and urge the vendor to change the word. Wow, that's interesting. So they're even.
This is all nuts.
Yeah, but Billy, there is a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference between banning words, which is what these people are doing, and that is foolish. Yeah. And there is also a difference between someone having a healthy boundary around a particular issue, which is something that you know nothing about.
I agree with a healthy boundary. I agree with what I'm suggesting to you is that these kids are getting sent a message that they're dainty and they're ready to fall apart, and they're taking too good care of themselves. And therefore, they won't be able to be comfortable in the real world.
This is bizarre, Billy, because there's been multiple studies on the fact that boomers are the most sensitive and narcissistic generation.
Call me names. That'll help.
I'm not saying that about you, Billy. I'm saying that there's a lot of studies.
Look how you treat me, by the way.
What, I call you fat, Billy?
You constantly call me fat. Now, that's not something you're supposed to do if a person is fat.
You are fat, Billy. That's why your nickname is Fat Billy. Billy, you have to think about it like we're in a Guy Ritchie movie. And my nickname.
I don't want to be in a Guy Ritchie movie. I would marry Madonna on a bet.
Right, but my nickname would be Handsome Jack, and your nickname would be Fat Billy, and Shane's nickname is Sugar Shane. So it all works out, right? So we all have nicknames, and you're Fat Billy.
How is Sugar Shane doing? By the way, hey Shane, How do you put up with this guy?
Shane, don't answer that. Anyway, Billy, the fact of the matter is, I'll give you another example, Billy, if you want to be upset about something.
Sure.
There was just another example.
Raise my blood pressure. Go ahead.
Another example, Billy. So in Florida, there was a school district decided to cancel a professor's civil rights lecture over fears of critical race theory concerns. But the seminar that he was giving did not include any piece of critical race theory. So just the idea that this guy wanted to talk about the civil rights movement and give a seminar, which is basically an extended lecture.
You're making my point. Thank you.
How am I making your point, Billy?
This is another example of craziness of like not of treating people like there's a problem with everything. Like this guy was going to somehow upset the white folks. It's ridiculous, this idea that in Florida now you can't teach history.
Okay. Billy, this is like a Gordian knot of stupidity that I have no idea how to navigate. This is a Gordian knot of idiocy I have no idea how to navigate. There is a huge difference between somebody saying, I do not want to be exposed to content which depicts sexual assault or violence, and a school district canceling a seminar based on their fears about critical race theory. Do you understand? These are miles apart from each other.
They're exactly the same.
Okay, Billy. In the next 30 seconds, how are they exactly the same?
You're treating students as if they're tender, breakable.
It wasn't for students. 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 It was for teachers.
They weren't even going to let the teachers have a.
I literally said that 90 seconds ago, Billy, and you've got so much butter in your ears that you can't hear anything.
That's even crazier, Jack.
I know it's even crazier, Billy.
Teachers from the truth?
Right. So then this is what's so bizarre about it, is that they were so hyped up on the idea that this was some kind of critical race theory infiltration, that they wouldn't even let the guy give an extended seminar to the teachers.
Well, you know, the Florida governor has a new police force, I think, that's going to, police this going forward. So Florida's in great shape.
All right, Billy. Well, thanks for wasting our time yet again. Thanks for wasting our time. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Tariq Ansari is going to be in, and not sure what Tariq wants to talk about, but we're going to do a little cringer base coming up right after this.
We want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded.
Yeah! Back with the motion.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, when, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a party.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Joining us is our senior Zoomer correspondent on a Monday evening, one Tariq Ansari, who is up past his bedtime. Good evening, Tariq. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. It is quite a beautiful evening in the Puget Sound. How are you doing, Jack Stein?
You're not in the Puget Sound, you liar.
People don't need to know that, Jack.
Well, I don't know, Tariq. Maybe it's because for the last 3 months that we've been doing this segment, you keep saying, as someone who lives in San Francisco, as someone who's attending San Francisco, as someone who... that's what you sound like on the show, Tariq, by the way.
I didn't know I sound like Rodney Dangerfield. Why are you... What in the world? I'm a college student. I'm not not getting respect out here. My goodness.
Yeah.
My gosh. Great impression. You're doing excellent. Yeah.
Thank you, Tariq. I appreciate that. So what have you got for us this evening?
All right. So here's the deal. You know, I don't know if you know this, Jack, but I'm in school right now, and I was very recently in elementary, middle, and high school. These are all facts that I just want to throw out there for you listeners. So in Georgia, these fourth graders were taking some tests, I guess some kind of standardized test, to start out and see where you are with history, or it's this one private school. They're doing an online test thing to figure out, you know, how kids feel about, you know, certain like history subjects, where they're at, that kind of thing. One of the questions on these tests that is getting a lot of circulation on Twitter now asks a student in a letter to President Andrew Jackson. So we're basically going back in history, explain to him why you, an American settler, how you would feel about the removal of Cherokee Indians from the plains, and explain how it would benefit you. And that's stirring up a lot of controversy in the sense that It seems like it's an insensitive question to ask, or it's a tone deaf question to ask.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is that, and these are both sides are being thrown out. The other side of it is that, well, this is something that needs to be talked about. Kids need to realize where the settlers' mindsets were back in the mid 19th century. And they need to, if they're uncomfortable about it, too bad, but they're going to learn a lot. And I honestly, Jack, think I lie with the latter here.
Ooh.
They're not in this question saying, hey, listen, what they did to these Native Americans, which, by the way, was horrible and terrible and never should have happened. They're not saying basically that they're promoting it. What they're saying is they're asking you to go into the mindset and see why settlers may have felt that way. And I think it's important in this scenario to understand why they felt that way and also why they are wrong and completely not even asking a question about it. Well, then you lose a shot at maybe teaching these kids about what even happened. Maybe they don't even know about these settlers and how they felt with Andrew Jackson's presidency and the Trail of Tears. It's a uncomfortable but direct way of learning, in my opinion, as a recent school student.
So, you know, Tarek, I'm going to side with you. This is very based. This is very based. Starting off strong this week, Tarek, I'm sorry. And I'll tell you why I think it's based. I think that we in the United States, let me take a parallel example. When we talk about Hitler, when we talk about Nazis, most people kind of sum it up in their minds as Hitler just didn't like Jews. But the fact of the matter is that if we actually look at the philosophical background of what Hitler was trying to do, the Germans at the time were the most literate, philosophically, quote-unquote, advanced, I'll put that, and the most educated out of any other country in Europe. And they viewed statecraft as a technology in the same way that you and I might view an iPod. Not an iPod. You're too young for that. An iPhone. What am I, 80 years old? An iPod. What am I? What am I, 80 years old? So they viewed the state as like this new kind of technology. And they're like, we could do anything that we want. And they're like, well, what's the first thing we're going to do? And they were like, we're going to set up a tiered society where less people have rights than other people. Now, the reason that I mention that is because I think it's important for people to realize that no human being is above slipping into some kind of evil mindset given the right context. So this exercise with Andrew Jackson and settlers, I think it shows kids how the thin line between good and evil can be perforated, how it can be broken through the state. And I think that that's a great exercise. How is it like a loathsome human being like Andrew Jackson can justify the wholesale slaughter of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people over the course of 8 years? It is an exercise that I think that a lot of people need to engage in, as opposed to doing like, Tarek, you ever listen to Billy Sunshine's nonsense? You ever listen to when Billy talks?
It's kind of hard because his connection's so whack. But yeah, when I do, I try my best. What's his phone? Is it like the original Thomas Edison edition?
Yeah,
phone,
yeah, right? Exactly.
Something like that.
Billy
yeah.
uses
yeah.
a rotary phone because he's a fool.
Yeah.
Billy's analysis of things, it basically breaks down like this. You say Donald Trump, Billy goes bad. You go Democrat, Billy goes good. I think that most people, if you really pressed them on the way that they feel about certain things, their basic understanding of something or their fundamental understanding of something is it's good or it's bad. And they don't really understand the nuances or the complexities of something like American history. Does that make sense, Tarek?
No, I think you're completely right. In some cases, people don't care and they would rather just have a, it's good or it's bad. And just like, all right, moving on. If you want to get McDonald's, you know what I mean? You want to move on to something else, which I totally get. Some people are lazy in that way. I can be lazy about topics. Like if you came up to me and he was like, all right, I need to know which fabric knitting I want to use. Do we use this one or this other one? I'm like, I don't care. You know,
yeah.
But this is more than just that. I mean, really, I think it's important to say, because I know there's like a lot of people. And especially, it's very hard to defend this to a Native American population or natives and basically justify it because obviously there is guilt there. And there's going to be guilt, by the way, no matter what.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, I think you can still say, you can still carry on with this assignment, which I think, honestly, this kind of thing should repeat throughout history. You know, try to explain to, what's another good example? Try to explain like...
You could do apartheid. You could do like, why is it that all the Dutch Afrikaners wanted a segregated society through the 1960s? You could do it in Morocco, Algiers.
Or Cuba in the 50s, you know, in the 40s and 50s. I mean, there's so much you can do. And I think you really... you enter a new realm of thinking with these students, and they have to really think about what happened then, and you actually teach them history in that way. And you can still, by the way, afterwards say, you know, objectively, what was done here was bad,
right?
Because it absolutely was. You can still do both. I mean, it's not like you're saying you're not promoting the Trail of Tears, because nobody would go for that. Nobody's walking around doing that unless they're like on Newsmax. But the thing is, are they like a sponsor or affiliate? If they are, then
no, I don't care. Even if they are, I don't care.
Yes, screw them. You know, here's the deal. You can do both. And I think they should do both. I think this is something, if you can teach history and make it direct, make people feel uncomfortable, that's going to let people learn something. And I think these students need to learn history more directly. So I'm all for this, actually.
Yeah. And I think, Tarek, to kind of springboard off of your point with the directly learning about history, in order for people to understand how I think both the greatness and kindness and goodness that is intrinsic in all of us, we also have to understand the evil and hatred and vitriolic nature that exists within all of us. And there's a difference between acknowledging something and exercising something. And what we see with organizations like Newsmax is that you exercise that muscle on a regular basis. And with other organizations, you see that we analyze said mechanism that exists within all of us, Tarek Ansari. So very based indeed, my friend, very based. We will take a really quick break. Tarek, where are we going in News of the World tonight? I'm curious. Where are we going?
Well, in News of the World, we're going to go all the way to Dayton, Ohio, where Shane Peterson has his first ever show with his band, and it got reviews of -2 stars. We're going to hear all about it.
All right. We'll be right back right after this with more Cairo Nights. Back to Cairo Nights. We don't have a lot of time to astral project Dave Ross into the studio tonight, Shane, so I think we're going to have to just try one big one, and then hopefully we can get Dave Ross in for News of the World. Dave Ross. Oh, there he is.
Presents News of the World with Shane Peterson.
That's right. News of the World with Sugar Shane Peterson, where Shane takes us to strange and foreign lands. Lands with names like Dubai. Lands with names like Scotland, places that no human being has ever been, with strange beasts called sheep. News of the World with Shane Peterson. So, Shane, you didn't have a lot of time to do News of the World today because you lost your phone. So I decided that I would take the liberty of reaching out to our correspondent over in Ireland, because Ireland has decided to tell Russia that naval exercises off our coast are not welcome. Now, I know we were all very excited about the idea that the United States was going to get into some kind of conflict with Russia, but Russia has been engaging in military exercises off the Irish coast. It is technically legal, however, because they're in international waters, but it's not very cool. It's like when your neighbor starts trimming your trees that are actually on your property. So we have decided to invite in our correspondent from across the pond. Oh, geez, Shane, what's the guy's name again? I don't remember the last time we had this guy on. What's his name again?
I believe his name is Patches O'Connell.
That's right, Patches O'Connell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, our senior Irish correspondent, Patches O'Connell. Hi, Patches. Welcome to the show.
Oh, why, hello, Jack Stein.
So, Patches, I need to understand something. The Russians are off the coast of Ireland, but why exactly? I mean, they could do naval exercises anywhere. Why are they off the coast of Ireland? This is bizarre to me.
Well, the one thing you need to know about us people out in Ireland is the thing is, you know, they're built different out there. You know, the roots in the ground and everything, the people that the Irish we are, the people that come up with us. You know, it's different than anywhere else. The water's it's cold.
No, but I know that the people are different in Ireland. That's very clear, Patches. I want to know why, though, does Russia have some kind of previous relationship with the Irish people that they feel like they could? Because I did a lot of research on this, Patches, and this is, like, pretty unprecedented. Like, normally they do their naval exercises in the on the opposite side of the coast near like North Korea and stuff like that. But now they're doing it over near Europe. And this is just this is really bizarre, right? They're 240 kilometers off the coast. So I'm curious, are you are does this frighten you, Patches, as a member of the fine country of Ireland? Does this frighten you at all?
Well, you know, Jack Stein is us Irish people, we've understood how to make it through the hard times. We've been up in the high times and the lows, and you know, there's been times where, you know, famine and things have affected my family beyond measure. You know, I've lost my brothers to the pills and lost my mother to the ale. I've lost, you know, brothers and sisters to the south wind. And, you know, us people, we're not afraid of nobody coming into our waters, but, you know, they better stay out of the pubs, because if they make it into the pubs, then, you know, they might have themselves a little bit of a trouble.
You're supposed to be our, like, military Irish correspondent, and you're so far you've said that you have really cold water and they better not come in the pubs. So I'm just curious.
Well, you're talking about the Irish here, Jack. What else do you need to know? Like, when it comes to our military strategies, we stay out of a lot of troubles. We mind our own. We're good, honest people. We protect our borders. And if they're out in our waters, we're telling them they just stay in the waters. If they come near the pubs, that's when they're going to have the problems.
Okay, Patches. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on, Patches. I appreciate we appreciate your time and your expert military analysis. So thanks a lot, buddy.
Oh, Godspeed, Jack Stein. Godspeed.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Shane. Patches. Patches. Patches wasn't very helpful at all, really, in understanding this. I'm curious why he's on payroll on Cairo Knights.
You're the guy who recruited him. You said, I got this Irish guy, and I said, well, what's his deal, man? Like, what is he all about? And you're like, well, he's supposed to know a lot, but, you know, he just sounds like he just hangs out in the pubs, man. And I mean, from my experiences in Ireland, he sounds like a good old boy, but, you know, you're asking him a really simple question. Like, I don't know, people are outside of their waters, and I think if they just get left alone and it's outside where they can't be messed with, then they probably won't bother, right?
You know, what's funny about that, Shane, is that the foreign affairs minister, Simon Coveney, said the exact same thing. He said, hey, you know what? I guess that's why we did have Patches on, because he clarified what the foreign affairs minister, Simon Coveney, said. So this is the way I planned it out the entire time, Shane. I'm a genius. News of the World, where we go to strange foreign places. Places called Ireland, where human beings do nothing but talk about how cold it is and how much time they're going to spend in the pubs. Moreover, a place where people are literally willing to die defending their pubs and their very cold water. That's right. News of the World with Shane Peterson. Wow. It's amazing, Shane. Isn't it amazing that this show has that amount of reach to it, that we literally go all over the world?
I mean, it's going to become a phenomenon here soon, Jack. I'm just working a little bit harder at it every single day, and you know, one day you'll catch me on one of them big news programs.
You didn't even work on it today. I did all the work today.
I know, that's the point. It's just going to be big, man. Whether I work on it or not, it's going to be big.
Hey, speaking of it's going to be big, Stacey Jo Rost and I are going to be talking about that guy who went on that crazy racist tirade. Connecticut guy over the weekend. He's now basically a living meme for berating some young ladies over what? Find out when we get back here on Cairo Nights.